Not that it matters in the grand scheme of things, and not because I'm anybody important, but for those who may not know me, my name is Michael Williamson. And I desire your prayers as we look into scriptures for a little bit this morning. I thank God, the remedy for every ill that is in this world, we can be acquainted with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And this morning, by the help of the Lord, I want to look into some scriptures, and I would pray that when we leave here today, that we'll be encouraged to push on, press on, because of the hope that we have of the answer and the solution to our prayers and our problems we find in God and through His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who said, "Come unto me. Come to me." If you labor, if you're heavy laden, labor, it's not, He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's not the labor that we have where we've worked 60 or 80 hours a week that He wants to give you rest from. It's not physical toil that wears you down physically that He wants to give you rest from. He wants to give you rest from the things that wear you out. Emotionally, spiritually, and I know I could name several things and I won't even try, but you know what they are in your own lives. You know the things that you labor with, that are a weight, that are burdensome to you. He says, "Come to me, all you that labor, and you're just weighted down. I'm not going to give you 8 or 10 or 12 hours of sleep. I'm not going to take away the sore muscles and the stiff joints, even though He can do that. But He says, I'm going to give you rest." Rest where? To the soul. To our souls. So I'd like to turn to the book of John, in the first chapter. I thought about how I would title this. I don't know how it would be, except that it'd be a long title. You'd find it in Ephesians 5:13b. It says, "Whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." This term that we have translated in our Bibles, Word, comes from, many of you know, the Greek term logos. That term means so much more than just words. What you see in front of you in your Bibles and your songbooks, if you, whatever, your tablet, whatever you're using as reference this morning for the Word, that's language. And it's something that we all use. But He says, "In the beginning was the Word." Logos means something said, reasoning, or computation. All that is or can be accomplished by the introduction of language and communication. I think of a little picture in my mind. I have a privilege sometime to work with children at school. And first grade, working in a little math class with them. And we teach them some concepts, how to learn to add and subtract. Now, it's much different than when I was in elementary school. But we have a some more story and a some went away story. Some of you are familiar with that. And I'll say to them, all right, so if you have two apples, you have some, and I give you another one, you have some more. Some more. Now, how many do you have? And they'll think, and they'll look, three. Yes. You have three. What just took place in their minds? It was a revelation that took place to them. Some went away. If you have three apples, and you gave two of your apples to your brother, how many apples do you have now? You had three, and you gave two to your brother. How many do you have left? They think, I have one. Logos is everything that you and I can understand and comprehend through the expression of language, comprehension, computation, all of that, that God has designed for you and me to be able to understand in life. He brought it about through the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God, the Word was God. Richard Trench says it this way, no one but God can satisfy the longings of an immortal soul. That as the heart was made for Him, so He only can fill it. I am satisfied today that we serve a God who is doing everything that possibly can be done to meet your need. Whatever that may be. He wants you to find that place in Him where you have rest to your soul. He doesn't want us to have to lie down at night carrying a weight of a load of guilt and emotion that we're not really designed to carry. He wants us to be able to have freedom and liberty. He said, come unto me. Come to me. I have the answers. I'm the remedy for the problems that you have. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. That is a positive statement from our Lord. From the Master. From the one who is able to give rest. Now, how do we learn? How do we learn how to go to Him? How do we learn how to approach Him? How do we learn to feel that rest in our souls? How many times have you carried a burden? And sometimes, yes, folks, we carry a burden and they don't always disappear soon. No, they don't. They don't always disappear soon. Sometimes we carry burdens for a long time. But the Lord has said that He wants us to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. We have to learn how to understand that there is a need and have a burden and carry a burden without being borne down in the weight of that burden. Being able to give that to the Lord and have trust in Him that He is able to bring to pass what He said He will do. We have to learn how to do that. How many times have you got down to pray? Maybe you've heard me say this before. And you've prayed about something until there are no more words to pray. If anything else is said, it's just going to be a repetition of what I've already said. And when we do that, this is my personal experience, my personal testimony. Maybe yours is quite different, but I rather doubt it. Sometimes I get down to pray about certain things and burdens and concerns in my life, for myself, my family, for others. And sometimes they're weighty. And He seems so far. And so near. At the same time. You ever experienced that? Where you pray, you know that I am praying to a God, to the one and only true sovereign God. I know that I am. And I know that who He is. I know what He has done in the past. I know what He can do. And I feel, sometimes I feel Him so near and so far at the same time because the answer's not there. And because sometimes I feel that maybe my words aren't making it. I see some other heads nodding in an affirmative, so it makes me feel I'm not the only one that experiences that. God wants us to be able to serve Him for more than the loaves and the fishes. He wants us to be willing to serve Him because He is who He is. And regardless of what you and I might think of what needs to be or how it should be, we know that there is one who knows so much better than I do, and I have to learn how to be able to submit myself to that one who has much more knowledge and understanding of the situation than I could ever have. The one who knows you, who might have to work with you before he can work with me, or might have to work with you before he can work with this situation, and has to get you in the right place before this ever can be taken care of. And I don't see all of that. I'm the one that sometimes seems like I'm just left swinging. You ever feel that way? I'm not left swinging. I'm not left dangling in a world of no hope. I am there because there is a divine mind and there is divine providence that is doing everything that can possibly be done to help me find that place in Him that will carry me through to eternity. In the beginning was the Word. This is how important that logos is, folks. Something said, the reasoning, the computation, all that is or can be accomplished by the introduction of language and communication, everything that you and I know about God, who He is, and what He is, comes because He is willing to reveal it to us. It's not because of our fantastic knowledge, not because of our abilities to have comprehension. It is because He chooses to reveal Himself to you and me. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Everything that God created, God made and gave life to, there was something in it that had a response to the divine command. Everything. Now man was a step above that because He gave man, the Scripture says, He breathed into man's nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there was something more than that, and God began the process of communicating, This thought, whatsoever doth make manifest, is light. The life was the light of men. The Logos. Everything that God is, everything that Jesus Christ is, He began by the process of communicating to humanity who He was. I don't know the first words He said to Adam. I don't know what it was when Adam's lungs inflated. And when he opened his eyes, I cannot believe that Adam just felt like he was just dangling. I have to believe that there was a level of communication between the Creator and the created, whom God had given the ability to comprehend and understand, to reason and think and process. What language it was, I can't say. Hebrew? Do you know? I don't know. But it was somehow a language that God was able to communicate with this man. How beautiful, folks, that is. I want to say this today. Regardless of what your situation is in life, wherever you may be, God knows how to communicate to your need. Specifically, uniquely knows how to communicate to your need. To answer the questions that you may have. And if He doesn't want to give you answer to that question, to give you grace, patience, to just be able to trust Him. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, didn't overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now if you notice, light here is with a capital L. This is speaking of Christ. John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. None excepted, folks. Jesus Christ came to bring light to every human being in this world, regardless of their ability to comprehend and understand, because you know as well as I do that there are some who are not capable, as capable. There are some that I have trouble being able to communicate. But God doesn't have those boundaries, those limitations. Just recently, I heard a story about a little fella who, as far as we know, has not had any real background in church things. Polite young man. And I don't know all of the ins and outs of it, but the nuts and bolts of, he was asked about, talked about being so polite, and he said, "Well, God told me that it would be better for me if I'd be polite." Did you learn that in Sunday school? Did anybody teach you that? Who told you that? "Well, God told me that." Little fella. God told me that. Do you know who is able to reach the needs of every human being, folks? Regardless of their station in life? Light. The one who gave light. There was a gentleman down home, Mr. Emmett. Mr. Emmett was challenged. Worked in a barber shop, sweeping up hair off the floor, trying to keep the place tidied up and neat. Went to Sunday school. He was in the class of Sister Gladys Cassio, if any of you might would have known her. He was a Sunday school student in her class. But he had some challenges. And he got sick, had a lot of health problems. And I received word that he was very concerned about when he didn't want to have to go to torment when he died. That was the way he worded it. I said, "I want to go see him." I went and visited him a little while, talked to him about his concern. He said, "That's right, I don't want to have to go to torment. I don't want to go to torment." I said, "There's no reason for you. There is absolutely no reason for you to go to torment when you leave this world." I said, "First you need to pray and ask God to forgive you of all of your sins." "Oh, I've done that. I've been doing that. I've done that." "Okay, then once you've done that, do everything that you know to do that's right. And He'll take care of you. You walk with Him. You walk in whatever understanding He gives you." I didn't use the word light. "Whatever understanding He gives you, you walk in that. You listen to Him." He died. I was asked if I'd do his funeral service. I said, "Yes, I'll do it. Lord, what do I say?" What do I say about this man? What do I say about this situation? The Lord said, a just weight and a just balance are my delight. All the weights of the bag, the scripture says, all of the weights of the bag are His work. He has a weight in the bag for every human being in this world, folks. He knows how to balance that scale out for everyone who is, the scripture says, of whom much is given is much required. But to those who have little given to them, little is required. The same principle. So the Lord knows how to balance all that out. The more understanding and knowledge we have, the more responsibility we have. The heavier we're going to tilt the scale, and we're going to have a heavier weight to balance it. God knows what He's spoken to you about. He knows what He has revealed to you. He knows what light He has given to you. What understanding, what comprehension you have of that. Every time that you understand, that increases our responsibility before Him. So He knows how to put a weight. And after the Lord said, the weights of the bag are His work, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Not only does that give me something that I can say, but that answers my prayers and my questions about this poor man. How you were able to deal with him. I am so thankful, folks, that we serve a living God who has the power to work in lives and transform lives. Where it says there in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed, not conformed. The water in this bottle is conformed to it. The Lord doesn't want us to be conformed to the things of this world. We're not to be molded and shaped as a fluid, as a gas, liquid, by the things of this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. God is able to do that for you and me. I want to read you a little story. A little story that really, it tells how God is able to reach to a man. It is related by a man named Casales. There was a missionary, Arbusset, had been explaining the gospel message, and he said to the one he was speaking to, one of the Kafirs, he says, your tidings are what I want. I was seeking before I knew you, as you shall hear and judge for yourselves. 12 years ago, I went to feed my flocks. The weather was hazy. I sat down upon a rock and asked myself sorrowful questions. Yes, sorrowful because I was unable to answer them. Who has touched the stars with his hands? On what pillars do they rest? I asked myself. The waters are never weary. They know no other law but to flow without ceasing from morning till night, from night till morning. But where do they stop? And who makes them flow thus? See, these are all questions this man was asking. There's a power involved here that I don't understand. Something is bigger than me, bigger than what I can see. And I don't know how to answer these questions, but they're questions. The clouds also come and go and burst in water over the earth. Where do they come from? Whence come they? The diviners certainly do not give us rain. For how could they do it? And why do I not see them with mine eyes when they go up to heaven to fetch it? I cannot see the wind. But what is it? Who brings it? Makes it blow and roar and terrify us. Do I know how the corn sprouts? Yesterday, there was not a blade in my field. Today I returned to the field and found some. Who can have given the earth the wisdom and the power to produce it? That I buried my face in both my hands. Why? Because I don't have the answers. But can I tell you what was happening here? Light. Light was being transferred little by little, to cause this man to even ask such questions. Where does this come from? That is the beginning. It's the root. It's the start of some deeper things that come to a man's mind. Every one of us, folks, will come to a place in life where there are things that we don't see, don't understand, and God begins a process of starting to open up to us who He is. That's why still today, sometimes when we start trying, this word theology is kind of a strange word, science or study of God. Now think about that a little bit. We're going to study God. We're going to figure out the one who has all the answers. Now I understand what it means. I understand how it's used. But folks, the only way that we know anything about Him is through revelation. It's the only way. Because He has been willing to shine light so that we could see. And not too awful long ago, I began praying a prayer this way for myself. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, will You illuminate a path for me so I can see how to walk? Will You illuminate a path for me? Because the Scripture tells me it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, none other name under heaven given, rather, among men, whereby we must be saved. You see, our only hope of salvation comes through Christ Jesus. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever it is that you and I understand and comprehend, because of light. I would much rather, if I'm going to be working on something, I see outside it's a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day. The difference of working with bright, natural light and trying to work with artificial light, there's really no comparison. If I'm going to be working on something, if I'm going to be working with something, trying to fix, repair something, I want to get in the light as much as, if I can possibly do it, I want to get in that natural sunlight that God has given. It's the best there is for me to be able to see the contrast of things. And He says with Him, He said, with God, there is no variableness. He is light. With Him is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. I get to working on something, and I get in the light. I turn it where I can get the contrast just right, where I can see what it is I'm looking for. With God, there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. No shadows. No dark spots. No places that aren't illuminated. Everything about God, the Scripture tells us that everything that we, that all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. Not one thing about you and me does He not know. Fully capable of meeting our needs. Fully capable of answering our prayers. Maybe not the way that we think they should be answered. But fully capable. I am so thankful, folks, that we serve a God that is the true light through His Son, Jesus Christ, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Whatever it is that you understand about God today, you understand because of that light. You understand because it illuminated you. You understand it because God was willing to reveal that. He was willing to take time to condescend to men of low estate. He was willing to take time to speak to your need. And I want to encourage you today, if you find yourself traveling through a valley, there in the 23rd Psalm it says, "Yea, will I walk through the valley of the shadow of death?" I used to read that and think that, ooh, woo, that is impending death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What I have found, maybe if you'll give me this much liberty, sometimes, folks, we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where it looks like there's nothing else there but death. But we have to keep walking through. It says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It sounds to me as one who has walked through and come out the other side. It's not just impending doom. It's not just death will be. Oh, I understand it will come to us all. But there are times in life, folks, where we're going through situations where it looks like there is no answer here, but this is going to fall apart. The wheels are going to come off of this thing. There's no other way for this. There's no way around this except for this is going to collapse. But God has a different answer. I'm a human being. I deal with feelings. I deal with fears, hurts, heartaches, disappointments. We all do. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor, not because you've worked 80 hours this week, but because I know what you're carrying. Come to me." I'm not going to promise you 8 or 12 hours of sleep. I'm not going to promise you can sit in your chair and put your feet up and just relax and rest. But I know what I can do for you. I'll give you rest from that load you're carrying. I'll give you rest from that if you'll just let me. We have to let Him. I appreciate your time and attention this morning and your prayers. I pray for each one that God will grant you through His love and the power of His Holy Spirit an illuminated path so you will know how to walk before Him. You pray for me. Amen.